Good morning, BCC, for one last time. Before I begin, I want to say thank you. Thank you for everything, for love you've shown me, for open arms, for a heart that doesn't quite seem to quit. I was really nervous to leave home and people I loved and family and just kind of comfort and places, because I've never really lived somewhere that I didn't have all that around me, and so I was nervous to do it, but you really made it feel like home, and you really made that comfort kind of feel normal for me. I learned a few things while I was here, that this isn't a place of judgment, it's not a place of condemnation or assumption, but it's a place of love and acceptance, and please don't change that. Don't change that this is a place where the things that came before you, your past, your sufferings, they don't divide you and make sex out of you, they unite you. And I've never experienced that before, and it has changed me forever. So, thank you. And I'm terrible at goodbyes, so I'm not gonna say goodbye, I'm gonna say see you soon. Thanks, Mick. I appreciate that. Thank you. Unfortunately, I still have to give a sermon, so. If you have your Bible, please open it with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 18. And now I know what you're thinking, because some of you will hear that set of verses and you'll think, I know what that story's about. You're thinking, Nick only seems to want to preach on widows for some reason. What's up with that? Well, the thing is that whenever we see a widow in the Bible, something really important happens, something that we need to listen to. And with Thanksgiving soon approaching, there's a message that I think we all need to hear in this story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. And as we continue our walk through these scenes of the table in the Bible, I think we're going to see that God's table can do more than just fill our stomachs. Verse 1, now Elijah, the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, go from here, and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan, and you shall drink from the Wadi, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went, and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and lived by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the wadi. But after a while, the wadi dried up, because there was no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow to feed you there. So he set out and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, and he said, bring me a little vessel of water, so that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, and only a handful of meal in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering sticks now, so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it, and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day of the Lord, and he sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, and neither the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. So one of my least favorite phrases in the entire world is, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Because I hate it, because when someone says it to you, you already know what's up. Because what they really mean is, I've got bad news and I don't want to just leave you with that bad news. It's usually the type of phrase that comes from your friend. That friend that you let borrow your car. And they come back to you with a tentative look on their face. And they hit you with the, hey, buddy, old pal. I've got good news and I've got bad news. Which one do you want first? They always ask you which one you want first as if it's going to have any difference on the outcome. But you say, okay, fine, give me the good news first. And they say, well, the good news is the airbags on your car work perfectly. You see, it's always bad news, it seems like. And in today's story, it's no different, because Elijah has received some good news and some bad news. He's finally in this situation at the Cherith where he feels like he's got everything, right? Every morning, every night, the ravens are bringing him meat and something to drink, but a drought comes. And I'm sure as the drought came, the river dwindled. It got smaller, smaller, smaller. There was less and less to drink, and he was probably starting to sweat. And I'm sure that things got tough for him. He's sitting by a river, and he's eating only meat and bread. I don't know if you've ever tried to only eat meat and bread for a while, but it gets a little boring after a while. But as the river dries up, God comes to him. He says, I've got good news, and I've got bad news. The good news, Elijah, that you finally get to leave Cherith. You finally get to leave. Man, that's great. This is a place where he'd basically just been living every day, sitting by a river. Now, the bad news, Elisha, is that I'm sending you to Zarephath, that place of idolatry and Baalism. People worshipped Baal, people worshipped many different gods, none of which were Yahweh, and none of which would be the type of people that would receive Elijah well because of the word that he preached. The text says that God had already commanded a widow ahead of Elijah to feed him once he arrives, and then the story gets good. Elijah takes his good news and bad news, and he immediately gets up and goes to Zarephath. And there, he approaches the gate and sees a widow gathering some sticks. Now, I think it's right to assume that Elijah hadn't had much of anything to drink or eat since he left Cherith, because, you know, during a drought, everywhere around the area is going to be very arid, dry, there's not going to be a lot of water, and like we've already found out, this area is not very nice to Elijah. And so he walks in, and he sees the gate. And at the gate is a woman, and she's a widow. That's all the text tells us. We don't get a lot of information on the outset about this woman, other than the fact that she's a widow and a mother. However, we can rightly assume that because her son is young, that she is somewhat recently widowed. Now, this coupled with the fact that the land is clearly experiencing a crippling drought means that the only thing we can for sure say is that this woman is not having a great day, month, week, year so far. So bad, in fact, that she tells Elijah that she is out gathering to prepare the last of her surplus so that her son and her may eat one more meal before they die. That's how bad things have been. And so the last thing on her mind in this moment is adding yet another guest to her table. But nevertheless, here comes Elijah, expecting this woman to prepare a meal fit for someone that just finished wandering through the wilderness. And it's at this point in the story that we shift to the table. And while there's no physical table mentioned, instead what we get is a table presented in the widow's ability to provide for Elijah, herself, and her son, with only a very small amount of meal and oil. It was such a small amount, in fact, that the widow tells Elijah that she only had enough left because the drought had taken everything. And so she sees no future in sight. All she has is this little bit of meal and this little bit of oil to make one last little bit of food, and it's not even enough to sustain them because they plan to die immediately after. And so here comes Elijah saying, oh, hi there, you must have food. Prepare me some food. She's telling Elijah that there's not enough, though. She says, are you crazy? You've seen this drought. You've been walking through it, literally. You've seen the conditions of the land. How do you expect there to be any food here whatsoever? There never seems to be enough. But Elijah's response is calm and bold. Elijah trusts that God has done what he said he would do and prepared this way beforehand. Elijah replies in verse 13 by saying, do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. I love that verse. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The widow certainly had plenty to be afraid of, and she had every right to take the stance of fear. Every right. Things had not been going well for her. How could this next move be any different? There was no rain. Her husband was gone. And as we've seen in many other places in the Bible, when there's a widow, that means that she now has no more livelihood. Her husband provided her status in the community, provided her some sort of steady income, her ability to even be a citizen, and now that was taken from her, and she was supposed to provide for her son and herself, and now Elijah? Are you kidding me? But Elijah looks her dead in the eye and says calmly, "Have no fear." All month, we've been surveying this narrative in the Bible, searching for scenes of the table and how God is calling us all to a table. But today's message comes in the form of a widow. A widow that Elijah tells to have no fear, when certainly there was plenty to fear. This is a season for many of us that contains these unknowns that are filled with chaos. It's like we're all living in a drought sometimes. There's issues that are in our past that are coming up to bite us. There's bills due. There's food that needs to be put on the table. And it can seem like everything is against us, and we have every right to respond with fear because of what's happened to us. But the table of God is one like the voice of Elijah that's calling us to have no fear, to be still and know that he is God. Truly to trust that God has the power to do what he says he can do. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. At our last Restored night, we were discussing the difference between healing and forgiveness. It was time for the step where we ask for forgiveness. And that can be really hard because we've done some pretty bad things, all of us. But we came to the point where it was time to figure out what's the true difference between healing and forgiveness. And we all in the room agreed that we find it really easy for God to forgive because it's something that we can't always see. It's something that we just trust God has done. Something that may or may not have immediate effect on our physical lives. But then when we get to healing, which is another thing that God says he can do, we have a much harder time believing that. We have a hard time believing that I have got all these kids, I've got a job, I've got a family, I need to put food on the table. God, can you really come into my life and do that? I trust you've forgiven me, because that's something I'll find out later, but can I really trust that you're going to take care of those things too? But God is continually saying, just like Elijah, do not be afraid. Trust me. My table does not run out. And the droughts in our life are indeed long. And sometimes it can feel like they rob us of that feeling that we have enough already in our lives to respond to God's call to his table. That we have the meal and we have the oil. But God wants us to not live in fear, but live in hope. And if we take our not enough and we bring it to the table of God, then God can truly do miracles with our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for us. And God, give us the courage and the boldness to trust that you will continue to do for us. It's so easy to look back and think about all the times that you've touched our lives, but then for some reason we make it so hard to look forward into the future and see you doing it again. Why is that, God? Teach us something new about yourself today and show us how consistent you are in our lives. God, we know that these droughts do end and your rains do come. But God, during these droughts in our lives, show us how we are still enough and we do not have to live in fear. Continue to speak into us with that soft and bold voice that says, Do not have fear, for I am your God. And as we go from here, I pray that you will continue to bring your reins upon us, and that we will find a seat at your table and know that we are enough, and that you truly have the power to change us once we get there. We thank you for everything you've done and everything you will continue to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.